I'm not going to preach this afternoon, but I feel hurt feelings, maybe slighted by Zach the other night. So I'm going to introduce him again this afternoon. Zach is a graduate of McGee Elementary in McGee, Mississippi. He also was homeschooled in Davie County, homeschooled, where he also went to Louisville Elementary School. He got C's and D's there, and then moved to North Davie Middle School. It was there that, through much angst, I'm not sure he wrote the order here, after middle school, then he went to Clemens Elementary School. Then he went on to Forsyth Academy, and then on to Davie County High School, where he was a state champion wrestler. I said the champion. That was 40 pounds ago. He is a member of Living Waters Baptist Church under Pastor David Vernon. Brother Zach is a Sunday school teacher, the deacon, the trustee, the treasurer, and the shoveler. He is the owner-operator of First Stop Home Improvement. I asked some people about him, and people said things like this. He's a young D.L. Moody. He's a fiery Billy Sunday. He's a cocky Tim McVeigh. He's a modern Billy Graham. And someone's even said a good-looking Jan Crouch. Anyway, I only called his mom to ask about that, and she gave me those things. So I didn't want to slight Brother Zach again this afternoon. I feel I've done well. Brother Zach, I do love Brother Zach. I want you all to know that he is my friend.
Amen.
And I have... You ought to hear me introduce my enemies, Brother Zach. Brother Zach and I have been together. Lord let us meet in the prayer room at Faith Baptist Camp. And it was awkward, weird, like everything involving Zach. And we just somehow became friends. I don't know how. And he's traveled a good bit with me when we were both single. I remember when he first met Amber, he and I were traveling together. I had met Rebecca, he had met Amber. And, you know, we're both like little schoolboys. Of course, he was, I wasn't. You know, trying to compare which of our girls was prettier. And, of course, I always won. But, you know, who would ever thought that the little boy I met at Faith Baptist Camp would be a father, a business owner, a husband, but a preacher.
Amen. Yes, sir.
He's a preacher.
Yes, sir.
So you listen to it.
Yes, sir.
Exactly.
Hook him up with the mic. You got it, Adam?
Yeah.
Get it up as close, Brother Zach. Get it as close to your, the knot on your tie as you can. The knot on your head, either one. There you go.
How do you follow something like that? It's awful. Go to the book of 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 10. First Corinthians chapter 10, and I'll start reading in verse 1. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, did all eat of the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Well, with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for in samples, that they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, within the context of the scripture, he's dealing with these people in the wilderness, that Moses had just taken these people out of Egypt, and they left out of Egypt, and they left on dry ground after they crossed the Red Sea. And before they left out of Egypt, Moses, he was called by God, and God sent him to Pharaoh and told him to let my people go. And Moses would tell Pharaoh, let my people go, and he would say, I'll let them go, and then he would harden his heart and not let them go, and God began to send pestilence and all sorts of things in Egypt. He sent the locust, he sent all those things and famines and whatever else. And as a result, Pharaoh would continue to harden his heart. And the last time, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. But nonetheless, the Israelite people, they still crossed over on dry ground in the Red Sea as those Egyptians began to chase them. And the Bible says that sea fell right back down on those Egyptians, and they all died out there in the midst of the sea trying to bring those Israelites back into bondage, back into slavery. And I'm sure if we were all there, we could sit back on the other side of the Red Sea and say, what a marvelous thing was done. What a glorious thing that God has done, brought us out of bondage, brought us out of slavery, 400 years bound in slavery, 400 years in bondage, 400 years having to live amongst people that had false gods, 400 years living amongst a bunch of ungodliness and wickedness. And I imagine that they could sit back and they could marvel at the wondrous things that God had done. But yet when they got out there in the wilderness, some of them began to murmur and complain. Some of them began to commit fornication. Some of them began to tempt Christ. Some of them began to lust after evil things. Some of them became idolaters. And of course we know how when they had been in idolatry, how they had made a golden calf. And they began to dance around it and strip off naked and commit their fornications and everything else that they had done. And it had greatly displeased the Lord. Yes. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, not only that, but when they were out there in the wilderness, God had sent manna from heaven. And he sent them water and he sent them quail. And I'm going to read about that here in Psalm 78. And let's see, I'll start reading in verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which ye have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. And that's what every person that's saved ought to be able to do. That's what every parent ought to take time from every now and then and take time to show their children the Lord had done this. I remember when I was just a child that my dad, it would come to me that he didn't have money to pay some of his bills. And he'd set those bills in the middle of the living room floor and he'd gather us all around and we'd pray over it. And he didn't have the money to pay. We didn't know where it would come from. He'd lay those bills in the middle of the floor and he'd say, we're going to trust God. And I can remember after God would provide the needs, it would come from somewhere. Somebody would leave a $400 check in the mailbox. Something would happen some way. God would provide.
And I could always remember how he'd gather us right back in the living room and show us how God provided.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's what every person, every parent, every saved person ought to be able to do that. They ought to be able to go back and praise the Lord and show forth his wonderful works and magnify his name. Verse 5, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Not only that you could, that they would declare to you that one day they might sit back and tell their children about how God had done wondrous things. Verse 7, that they might set forth their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep the commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law and forgot his works as and his wonders that he had showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as an heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness, and they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock, and the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth, so a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel. And you notice that he used the term Jacob and Israel. The Bible says they're not all Israel that are of Israel. And he used that term Jacob, and he used that the name Jacob. The fire was kindled against Jacob and also came up against Israel. Why? Because they're not all Israel that are of Israel. And anyways, in this passage, we find that God not only done wonders in bringing them out of Egypt, but God did wonders in providing for these people out there in the wilderness. And whenever they got thirsty, Moses went to the Lord, and the Lord told him to hit a rock, and hit that rock. That rock was Christ. And out from that rock gushed forth waters from great, as it were, from great depths, the Bible says. You know, they should have been pleased with that. They should have been happy about that. They should have been rejoicing in that. That should have been something that was talked about from generation to generation. Yet they spake against God. When they got hungry, God rained down manna from heaven. Angels' food, the Bible talks about. Rained down angels' food. That bread. And you've probably never had bread that was as good as angels' food. And they spake against God. And God, ladies and gentlemen, they wanted some meat. They said they were hungry. They didn't want to live off just bread. They wanted some meat. And they got it. The quail was rained down from heaven, and they had all the quail that they could ever want to eat. Yet they spake against the Lord. And ladies and gentlemen, when they should have been thankful, when they should have been praising the Lord, when they should have had some gratitude towards the Lord, they spake against God. The Bible says in the book of Psalms 92, verse 1, the Bible says it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It's a good thing. There's never a bad time to give thanks unto the Lord. It's never a bad time. Every day of our lives, we ought to be saved or lost. You ought to be able to wake up in the morning and have some things that you're grateful to the Lord about. If you're lost, you ought to wake up in the morning and say, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to live another day and me not being in hell.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Lord, for not putting me in hell already. Should be thankful.
Yeah,
and ladies and gentlemen, whenever we can sit down and we have plenty of food to eat like we had earlier today, it may not have been everything that you liked. It may not have been everything that you would desire to have all the time. But you ought to be thankful for what you got to eat.
Yes, that's good.
You ought to be grateful for the things that you get to eat. And the Bible says it's a good thing to give thanks. Why? Because it pleases the Lord. It pleases the Lord when we give thanks. Pleases the Lord. You take a child, you know, I know it's around Christmas time, or it was around Christmas time recently. I don't know what time of year it is. But previously we went through Christmas time. And I know there's a lot of children in America that they got hundreds, probably thousands of dollars worth of toys, but they may not have got the one they wanted. And they're unthankful. And just because they didn't get everything that they absolutely wanted, they probably threw a temper tantrum. Could you imagine being the parent of one of those children? How unpleasant that would be. Instead of having a child that's grateful and thankful for what they do get, they complain about it. That's what happened here. God had done so many wonderful things for these people. So many glorious things. Things that they should have been able to talk about to their children. They should have been praising the Lord for the things that He had done. But yet they spake against God. But it pleases the Lord when we give thanks to Him. It pleases the Lord when we praise Him. It pleases the Lord, ladies and gentlemen, every now and then when we'll lift our hands and say, "Thank you, Lord, for the things that you've done." It pleases the Lord. We look in the life of Job. The Bible says it's a good thing to give thanks. We look in the life of Job. Job, he lost everything that he had. He lost his children. The Bible said there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "From whence comest thou?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, walking up and down in it." What was Satan doing? He was seeking whom he may devour. That's the devil's goal. Seeking whom he may devour. Seeking whom he may destroy. What did he come? But to steal, to kill, and destroy. But God come that you might have life, and that you might have life more abundantly. And the Bible says, "He that hath the Son hath life, but he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." God came to give you life, but Satan came to destroy. That's what he come to do. Let me tell you something. Satan will tell some of you young people some lies. He'll tell you older people lies. Yes. He'll tell you married people lies. Yes, whenever things aren't easy at home, whenever you're mad at each other and everything else, every now and then the devil will tell you a few lies. Be better off if you were married to this person or that person. Be better off if you had somebody else. Say, that don't go on. Well, 75% of America is living in divorce. Goes on all the time. Seeks to destroy your marriage. Seeks to destroy the children. Seeks to destroy everything. That's what Satan was doing. And he'd find Job's family. All of his children were killed. He was afflicted with boils from the top of his head down to the bottom of his feet. And sad picture, you find him lying in a pile of ashes, scraping those boils in the skin with pots that were broken. And he said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He was able to give praise to God even in that. That's a hard thing. That's not an easy thing to live. It's not an easy thing really to preach. It's not an easy thing to practice. I'll be honest with you. Most of the time, whenever my wife doesn't say everything that I want her to say, and she don't treat me exactly right, and she don't go to the refrigerator and get me my sweet tea and whatever it is that I want exactly the way I want it, I get pretty upset. I get pretty upset. And especially whenever she loses my tools somewhere, I get pretty upset. It's never my fault. Never my fault. And it's always my wife's fault. And even when I know it's my fault, now I've just gotten to the point, even when I know it's my fault, I still blame it on her. And she still gets mad at me. It's awful. But anyways, he was lying in the pile of ashes. He was still able to say, "The Lord gave, the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord." Blessed be the name of the Lord. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Good preaching. 2 Timothy chapter 3.
verse 1. The Bible says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves." Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. And just be honest with you, that is the generation which we live in America. That is America. Whenever you read this passage, that is America. That's the day in which we live in. People are lovers of their own selves. People love themselves so much. Just go on Facebook and you'll find out. They go on Facebook and you find out how great and wonderful people are, how great their lives are. They promote themselves so much. They're so wonderful. They got everything together. Everything. There's nothing that ever goes wrong in their life. Half the time I go on Facebook and look at people I used to know and I get depressed because I'm like, look at all the things that happened in my life. Look how perfect everybody is. Look how awesome their lives are. They sit on there and just promote themselves. Why? Because they love themselves. They love themselves a lot. And the Bible says that they're covetous. We live in a covetous day. The mindset of the average high school student is, I'm going to go to college. I've heard this. That's the reason why I say, I'm going to go to college. I'm going to graduate. I'm going to buy a Ferrari, a beach house, a mountain house. And I'm going to have a house where I work. That's the thought of the average high school person. And most of the time that doesn't happen. And the person that I'm thinking about in particular, that really didn't happen to them. And they still, after 6 or 7 years of trying to find a real job, a good job, a steady job, they're still not able to find one. They still don't have their Ferrari. But they set their whole goal, they set their whole desire, they set everything around what they can gain, what they can have, what they can achieve more and more, and nothing ever satisfies.
Right.
Nothing ever satisfies them. Because they're covetous. They're boasters. Proud. And they're blasphemers. And we live down there in the Bible Belt in Hickory, what used to be the Bible Belt. North Carolina and South Carolina and Tennessee and all that. People call it the Bible Belt. It's not really the Bible Belt anymore. Just go preach on a street corner. You'll find out.
Yes,
the reason why I thought about blasphemers, you go preach on a street corner, they will blaspheme everything that is good, everything that is right. They will. Mm-hmm. You preach on the side of the road, people will try to run you over.
Yeah.
People will cuss you. They'll mock you. And there, and believe it or not, if you ask them, they love God. That's how it is. They love God. And whenever one of their loved ones die that live that way, were blasphemers and drunks and dope heads, whenever their loved ones die, they go down to the caskets and they brag about how much they love Jesus and how much they talked about Jesus. And most of the time when they were talking about Jesus, it was cuss words, but they really loved Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Yep. And that's how it is. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. And that, it's been a long time. I don't know. This is a very rare church. I don't find many people that get 18, 19 years old. I don't find many people like Sam and Tim, people like them around, people like Eric that are still going to church. When they have an opportunity to get out, they do. They dishonor their father and mother. They hate the things of God. But anyways, a lot of those people, they were disobedient to their parents. The Bible says this, unthankful, unholy, unthankful. That's the generation that we're living in America, an unthankful generation. Ladies and gentlemen, we have some things to be thankful about. If you're in here today, you have a lot of things that you ought to be thankful about. You ought to be thankful that you have a pastor that preaches the Word of God.
Yeah.
We ought to be thankful that we get to hear from the precious Word of God.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God is a wonderful thing, and that's one thing we have that we can rejoice in, that we ought to be thankful about, is that we have the Word of God. We ought to be thankful that we have homes to live in.
Yeah,
we ought to be thankful that we're able to breathe, to talk, to see. Those are just the little things we oftentimes ignore. But ladies and gentlemen, those things are important things. Can you imagine not being able to breathe? You'd die. But we're not. A lot of times we're not thankful about it. We're not thankful about the things that we get to eat. A lot of times we'll go into a restaurant, if they don't get something just right on our order, I tell you what, we'll pinch us a little fit and get mad about it and send it back and throw a little temper tantrum. Make sure, well, by that time, you might not want to eat your food, but you sent it back for the third time, you might not want to eat it. If you know people that have ever worked in a restaurant, but you ought to be thankful. Children, you ought to be thankful. You ought to be thankful. You say, well, I didn't get everything I wanted for Christmas. If you got to spend time with your family, you ought to be thankful. That's what's important anyways.
That's right.
People talk about getting these gifts and everything else. And now I feel, because I don't want to make everybody in my family mad, I feel like I have to get gifts. And I'll just get them something real simple, something that they might be able to use. But you feel like you have to get gifts and all these different things. People buy their children a bunch of gifts and everything else. By the time it's January, they don't even play with them anymore. So the way I was when I was a kid, by the time it was January, it wasn't even useful to me anymore. Because I'd done broke it and destroyed it. It's the way it was. My dad, he would tell us that he was going to get us a, what are those things that you do iron work on, an anvil. He's going to get us an anvil because that's probably about the only thing we couldn't break. And he's probably right about that. And but anyways, you ought to be thankful for what you do have. You ought to be thankful that you have a family.
Yes.
You ought to be thankful. If you're saved, you ought to really be thankful.
Yeah, thank you, Lord. Yes.
If you're saved, you ought to really be able to rejoice.
Sure.
I'll just quote Brother Allen. Don't get too excited about it. You're just as saved as long as God is. You're just not going to go to hell for all of eternity. Don't get too excited about it. That's what he says. But something we ought to be thankful about. Something we ought to be thankful for. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'll just read through some of these because it'd be good anyways. Tell you what. We'll start reading from verse 1 in chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You're the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and to be at peace among yourselves. That's a wonderful thing for a church. Mm-hmm. If your church is at peace, that's something you ought to be thankful
for. Amen.
Something you ought to really be thankful about. And now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. And me and Brother McVeigh, we've talked about this. Talks about support the weak, be patient toward all men. I believe every now and then the Lord will put people in your lives just to test your patience. I believe the Lord will do that.
Yes, sir.
And let's see here. Verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. And that's a pretty tough verse to live. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. That's the will of God in your life, that in everything that happens to you, that you ought to be able to give thanks to the Lord for it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we should be able to give thanks in the good things that seem easy in our lives, the things that seem so easy for us. We ought to be able to give thanks for those things. You know, whenever those Israelites, they were receiving the wondrous things, they were, you know, witnessing the miracles of God, they should have been able to rejoice in those things. They should have. And there's things that happen in our lives that we ought to be able to give thanks for. But not only that, we should be able to give thanks for the things that seem to go wrong. Seem to go wrong. We think that when everything goes wrong, that, you know, oftentimes people blame everything on the devil. Everything's the devil's fault. Sometimes God lets things in your life. Sometimes God lets things in your life. Tribulation worketh patience. Patience experience. And experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. For the grace of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Ladies and gentlemen, whenever hard times do come, the Bible says all things work together for good to them that love God. And those who are the called according to His purpose. Those are some things that we have hope in. And things that we can give thanks to the Lord about. Yeah, I know sometimes things seem to be horrible. Things seem to be bad. Sometimes it seems like, you know, your cars break down and everything. You have to pay all these bills at the same time. And your cars are breaking down and you have no money. And all this stuff seems to go on. Sometimes the Lord allow that stuff to come in our lives to teach us some things. And in that, we ought to be able to give thanks. We ought to be able to give thanks. And I was just the other day, I'm not saying this, that I can win somebody's sympathy or whatever else, or that you might buy me a new vehicle. But my vehicle the other day blew a head gasket. And it's cost just about as much to... you know, buy a new, you know, the value of the car is not worth getting the head gasket replaced. Let me just say that. It's not worth getting it fixed. So that's how I am. But I do have another little truck that I have to drive down the road. And I was driving it down the road just the other day. You know, I had some negative thoughts in my head about it because me and my wife are crammed in a one-seat truck with no heat. And whenever it gets hot, there'll be no air conditioner. And it's pretty bad. But and about that time, it was, how cold was it, honey, in the 20s, 10s? I mean, it was in the teens. I'm not kidding. But I got to thinking all negatively, and my wife's talking about how cold it was, and she's over there shivering. And I got to thinking about, there's a lot of people that wish they just had a car to drive down the road.
Yes.
Here I am sitting complaining, thinking about how bad I've got it. I ought to be able to give thanks to the Lord for what I do have.
Yes,
what I do have. And ladies and gentlemen, we ought to be able to give thanks to the Lord, even whenever it seems bad, even when it seems like everything's going wrong. We ought to be able to give thanks to the Lord. And Brother Asquith, he's preached it plenty of times. The Lord shall supply all of your need. All of your need. Sometimes you may not need to eat. Sometimes you may need to do without. Sometimes that might be what you need.
Right.
And he's preached that. And that's not easy living. That's not easy. It's not easy to preach, and that's not an easy thing to live. But sometimes that might be exactly what you need in your life. I might need my van to mess up. I might need to struggle a little bit. And I ought to be able to give thanks to the Lord for
the things that he's done in my life. I ought to be able to give thanks to the Lord even for that in my life.
And we ought to be thankful. We ought to be able to praise the Lord. Not as these people that murmured and complained. Not as these people that complained in the wilderness. Not as these people that spake against God.
He gave this to us as an example. He gave us as an ensample that we might learn from their experience, from what they did.
We don't have to live after that. We don't have to go and experience it for ourselves.
We don't have to go. He showed us through his word how he felt about it and what these people went through. He gave it to us as an example.
We should be able to give thanks to the Lord. We ought to be able to give thanks. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for allowing us to be here at the house of God. Lord, we thank you for the precious word of God. The word of God's quick. It's powerful.
It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us today and encourage us in the word of God. God, help us to please you and to be thankful people. Dear God, thankful for what we do have. Thankful. Dear God, not covetous, desiring things that will never obtain, Lord, but to be thankful for what we have right now. Thankful for the great salvation that Jesus Christ has given us. Thankful for another day. Thankful for our families. God, help us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.